The flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Great start. And we're coming to you live from the traveling Built Ford Tough studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, it's Boomer and Geo on The Fan. Simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Tuesday morning. We are live from Giants Camp, the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, where no fans or Giants will really be here until 2:45 this afternoon. However, the Giants were kind enough to throw us some big-time guests today, and we're excited for that. 7 a.m., head coach Brian Daboll will be with us. 8 a.m., Daniel Jones will be with us. And 9 a.m., general manager Joe Shane will be here. It is football weather out here right now. It is windy. It is chilly. There is a squeaking sound in the background that's going to drive you nuts. Trust me, it drove me nuts listening to Al and Jerry driving in, so try to ignore that as we talk sports here on Boomer and Geo live from Giants Camp. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Good morning, G. I'm doing great, and hopefully Steve Avery is paying attention, because when it gets cold, he tends to, like, you know.
Also when it gets warm, too. That's when he screws up.
Okay, exactly.
And when it's the perfect temperature as well. That's also a time that he messes up.
All right. So, yeah, I'm doing well this morning. You know what this reminds me of? Yesterday, you and I were playing golf over at Bella Vista down there at Jerry's Golf Tournament, and it was hot. It was hot. It was humid, and you could really feel the heat. And then this morning, we wake up, and it's literally, it's got to be like 57 degrees or something.
Yeah, it's close, right, at least with the wind chill, maybe.
But I was telling Al and Jerry before, what it reminded me of is when training camp used to break back in the day. Mm. And if you remember this, because you were at Belport High School, I was at East Islip, and we would wake up one morning, and all of a sudden, you'd have fall weather. And that meant practice was going to be great, because everybody felt so much better because of the weather. And this is how I played. This is the last day in Wisconsin. This is the kind of weather we had when we went to play out at Sand Valley 2 weeks ago. But it's kind of refreshing. Makes me feel like football's right around the corner.
Yeah, and part of me likes it, and part of me hates it. It reminds me of football, but obviously I don't want it to be chilly at this point. We only get a few months of warm weather around these parts, so I don't want it to go away so soon. But I think it's apropos that this morning it feels like football when we're doing a football show. And excited to talk to these guys. And, you know, another year of sitting and talking to Daniel Jones and finding out if this is going to be the year where he succeeds. He did have one of those years a couple years ago, got himself a contract, but he is back in this situation once again, coming off a preseason game where most people are going to focus on the negative stuff. Mm-hmm. But there were some positives in that game, as we talked about yesterday. So they're an interesting team for our perspective. I think in the pantheon of the NFL, when people are looking at the league, the Giants are not an interesting team. But for us, I do believe, I'm not ready to say that they're going to go to the playoffs or be over 500 or anything like that, but they have an upside here that I don't believe that they had last year.
Well, I think they're at least their front seven, although they did lose McFadden, I would say that their front seven on defense, I feel like that's a really good group of players. I feel like they're going to get pressure on the opposing quarterback. And I do believe that their offense, with at least four or five new starters, and maybe more than that, by the time we get here to the start of the regular season, is going to look significantly different, especially with Brian Daboll calling the plays. I think he's going to be a very aggressive play caller. I saw that in the second quarter. I've said and I continue to say that he's going to coach Daniel Jones very hard, because if you're going to make decisions like Daniel made at the beginning of the game, he's going to find himself on the bench. The interesting thing for me, and I'm sure they're listening right now as we speak, is whether or not Daniel Jones actually trusts Brian Daboll and Joe Shane.
They're not. Joe Shane's not listening. He told us in Hard Knocks, if you were to ask him to put on Sports Talk Radio in his car, he wouldn't be able to find it. That's what he said.
Okay, well.
Do you believe that?
No, I don't. But, you know, I'm not going to challenge him with what.
Well, oh, I will.
I'm sure you
That's
will.
That's why we're here, to challenge these guys.
Yes. But, you know, my thing is that they want to get the most out of Daniel. And in order to do that, they have to make sure that they are putting pressure on him on the practice fields, in the meeting rooms, putting the pressure on him for the entirety of a football game. And I was glad that they left him in there and let him throw. And there were a couple great throws that he made. I tend to want to look at the positive. I don't want to look at the negative. I didn't see a lot of handoffs and little dinks and dunks. I saw down the field throws in the second quarter, which, you know, if you're a Giant fan, that's what you want to see. That's the one thing that the Giants don't do. I mean, they haven't done that.
Yet, right?
And, you know, their defense was brutal last year, but their offense was even worse.
Yes, it was. And obviously the injury to Daniel Jones was a tough one. Not like Daniel Jones was playing at the Patrick Mahomes level, but he certainly was better than Tyrod Taylor and then Tommy DeVito after that. Survey all the fine folks that are working on the program right now. See, everybody, see, take a look at everybody that's here working.
Yeah, I see them, yeah.
All right, pick the person most likely to snuff out this rusty swing set sound that's going to be going on from now until the end of the show. Because I'm telling you right now that this is a problem. It's a problem. And I will not be able to move on because all I do, like, this is what are they, like waterboarding, you know, where you're like, the thing about it is it's not so bad that a drop of water is on your head. It's just the anticipation of it happening. So now you're talking, see, you're talking, and all I'm thinking about is when is the next time I'm going to hear this pterodactyl squawk in the background? Well, somebody.
But
so, it's not Aprius. So
I would
eliminate him.
Steve Waldron. Oh, Stephen Waldron would be the guy.
You think he's the guy?
I mean, isn't he like the director?
I mean, I think Sean Kennedy's probably the guy, right? He's the only one out of Steven and him that actually gets stuff done.
Well, no, there's a lot of people get stuff done.
Well, Steven doesn't. He's just...
Well, Steven, you think he's just more of a figurehead?
He's just a loiterer.
He's a loitering figurehead.
He's sort of there. You know, is he actually accomplishing anything is a question. And see, there it is. That's twice in like 5 seconds.
I understand.
Seconds.
You just got to stop.
I can't. I'm sorry. I can't do it.
You got to fight through it.
Fight through it.
Fight through it.
I mean, the listener. And probably, they hate it. I know I hated it driving in. I couldn't even listen to Al. I was just waiting. When's the next one? When's the next one?
All right.
I mean, this is just, it's unbelievable. It's 52 degrees. It's windy, and we got that.
Stop being such a wuss.
It's not just a wuss. I'm just
man up and let's go. It's football season. We're at the Giants camp, and you just got to deal with it. I mean, you guys,
I'm surprised.
You take you outside, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. You're out of your comfort zones.
Well, I'm not normally. I mean, if it's that sound is just throwing me off because I'm just
that was Eddie. That had to be Eddie.
Oh, good one, Eddie.
Yeah, you know, that sounded so real.
I know. Well,
didn't
yeah.
It?
Yep. It's probably Pat Hanlon back there doing that to us.
You think so?
He's probably up early. He's just like over there making that sound to screw with us. But anyway, you were saying about Daniel Jones?
I don't know what I was saying. All I know is that they're going to coach him hard. They're going to expect a lot out of him. And I was asking you, you know, and then I said that they're probably listening to us or
right.
Somebody
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah.
And the point that I would want to know is, if I watched off-season Hard Knocks and I was the starting quarterback of the New York Giants, I'd be like, "What the F are these idiots doing?" You know what I mean? Like,
what?
I mean,
what do you mean?
They're trying to. They want Jaden Daniels. They want Drake May. I mean, like, No, here's the thing. It's one thing. The reality is you know that these conversations go on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It's another thing when it's out there for everybody to see. And that's the great thing about Hard Knocks. And that's why you came in that morning and you were like, I'm ready for football because of this Hard Knocks that they did with the Giants here in the offseason, watching the Giants try to build a team. And all I'm saying is that, look, it's a challenge and it's a shot across the bow once again of Daniel Jones having to put up with that.
So just to recap, you think that someone from the Giants organization is probably listening and you think that Daniel Jones, while watching Hard Knocks, was saying to himself, what the F are these idiots doing?
That's what I would say.
What?
I'd be like, they obviously don't believe in me because they're talking about trading for somebody.
All right, if you're Daniel
and
Jones.
And I think a football team is about, you know, it's about building trust. It's about building respect. And, you know, Daniel Jones had his best year under Brian Daboll, his first year. And that was great. And I thought the trust and the respect was built up and it was strong and it was going to be great. And unfortunately, Daniel gets hurt last year. But prior to him getting hurt, the team really doesn't have the competitive edge. They're not playing with the competitive edge. And that's when the Joe Buck comment came out about, you know, Brian Daboll not wanting to just have the energy. He wanted the energy to come from somebody else, meaning the quarterback. We heard about Rich Eisen talking about at the combine they were done with him, and then all of a sudden we're watching in season or off season Hard Knocks. And if you were the quarterback, how the hell would you feel?
I would say I have not been healthy. I've had major injuries, and these guys didn't draft me. And I've had self awareness. That's what it would be.
Yeah,
and
he played great for them his first year. He took them to the playoffs.
Yeah, he played great in one game. He had an okay season,
His first year,
and he got overpaid.
Offense. He had a first year in another offense.
Yeah, right.
And
he was okay. What did he throw? 13 touchdown passes
and when these other starting quarterbacks get their deals, he's right now, 16th on the list? At one time, he was like number 2 or 3 on the list.
If Daniel Jones, you know how he thinks and he acts by now. He wasn't thinking, what are these idiots doing? He was thinking, man, I hope they don't draft it.
That was a strong word. I don't want to say idiots. I mean, that was just a reactionary word, an emotional word.
Emotional.
Like, you know, if it's me and I'm sitting at home watching
and
I'm the guy that they're talking about getting rid of and trading up to go get some guy.
Well, yeah.
I'm coming in like with the guns a-blazing.
And hopefully Daniel Jones is, and he's got another opportunity to show that he can be the quarterback here, and that's all you want. But you also had way more success than Daniel Jones did in his first 4 or 5 years of his career.
This is his sixth year,
five years.
And he's had, three head coaches, three offensive coordinators. It's been like a turnstile.
Is there any Has he had any
major, significant upgrades in players around him, with the exception of what we've seen this year going into this season?
Darren Waller was supposed to be one of those guys. That didn't work out. Saquon obviously been here for all of his career.
Saquon was 40% of their offense last year.
Yeah.
And that's mainly because they lost their starting quarterback.
Yeah, and then they had Tommy DeVito in there who won a couple games, but obviously that offense was rough. Is there any general manager in football that wouldn't have done the same thing in the Giants' position?
I'm not saying that they would. Of course they would.
This is why I'm saying Daniel Jones probably had the self-awareness.
We had to watch it on TV, man. That is hard. That's harsh. And what do I always say about being a GM?
Ruthless.
Ruthless, yeah, is right. Exactly.
That's right. Damn right. Got to be ruthless.
And I appreciate Joe Shane doing his job the way he feels like he needed to do it. And, you know, he's already remade this roster significantly in the last year when they finally got some money.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that from Hard Knocks is, as I mentioned before, Hard Knocks showed us the process behind him being asked questions at the combine and, you know, how he answers them and how to not step in things, which I appreciate.
You think he's sitting with somebody right now listening to us to make sure he knows how to answer our questions?
No. Because I don't think he takes us seriously enough. That's what I think.
Oh, really?
I think that those combine assembled. Yes, that's what I think. Okay. I think that combine assembled media, they're like, this is going to go out there. It's the draft. We can't say anything about Daniel, Saquon, all that stuff. He's got his team now. There's really not a ton of stuff that's out there that hasn't been decided yet. Like at the combine, a lot of stuff hadn't been decided. He's probably walking in here. And he's like, you know, a couple weeks of the season, feet up. He's in a feet up spot.
You think his feet are up?
His feet are up right now. He's like, I did my work already. Draft's done. Free agency's done. I can't do anything else right now.
You'd love to be a fly on the wall right now in their offices wondering what they think. Well, we believe we know what they think about their team, where their weaknesses lie.
Mm-hmm.
We think we know.
Yeah.
Because it's all over the place.
Sure.
But imagine being in there listening to the real conversations.
Yeah, we kind of did in Hard Knocks. Not all of them.
But I'm just telling you, if you were the the focus of those conversations, which the quarterback position was, and rightfully so. I'm not saying it was wrong, but I'm just saying that it was so wide open. And, man, I'm telling you, it creates a here's a word. Remember we were talking to a guy yesterday, the fireman from New York City, the retired fire department, put a dollar in the tip jar.
Yeah, he did, yeah. And I was like, what, do you never caught her?
Guy put a dollar in the tip jar, and he was ex-FDNY. Yeah. Great guy. Nice guy.
He was good. Yeah.
He was a really good guy. And then me and Gio each dropped fives in there.
just to show him up.
Just to show him up a little bit. And then next thing you know, he put a five in there.
Yeah.
So that bartender should like us. But anyway, remember we were talking to him about words that are barely used or never used again?
That's right, yes.
Here's a word. I'm going to use a word for you that I've used a few times. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know that many people use it still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you watch Hard Knocks preseason, you know what ends up developing? Schism.
Yeah, you know what? You are a schism guy. Not a lot of people are. You're keeping schism alive. You are.
I'm trying.
It's on life support. But
I'm trying.
You're keeping schism alive. Yes. I was put on the spot with that. I didn't know. He's like, what about a word that it's not used anymore?
Schmegma. Schmegma.
Schmegma. That's very specific. You know, I don't know if you can blame the times on that as much as just the situationally.
Right.
I said tallywhacker.
Yes.
And he said, what's that? Like a bat? And I said, no, it's a penis. Remember that?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what I came up with.
Because that's always in the front of your mind.
That's what I came up with. I couldn't think of anything else. But schism's good. Schmegma's good. I don't know. Can you think of one, Al, off the top of your head?
Like a word that's not used very often.
Any more that used to be? It's tough, right?
Pubadoo.
Schweens is another one. Schweenus?
Schween, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't have one. I got to really think about it. It's a good question.
Harken.
Harken back.
Harken back.
Yeah.
That was the word I was thinking about yesterday when he was asking me, because I remember saying the word harken. And my buddy Ziggy.
God.
Sent me a text that morning. Says nobody uses the word hearken. Now this is about 5 years ago.
Okay, and have you used it since until today?
Yeah, I think I have used it. And
hearken
then I
back.
And I remember telling this fire department, fireman last night, that the word that I couldn't remember, but I had seen it many times after I had said it. I don't know why, because for whatever reason, you say something, somebody text you something, and then all of a sudden you see it everywhere.
Yeah.
So I saw the word hearken in a lot of places after that.
You know, I think John Mary probably uses hearken.
You think John Mary uses hearken?
He's probably up in his office right now. You know, I'm hearkening back to the days of LT and
Phil
Carl
Banks
and Phil Sims, you know?
Yeah, I heard Al this morning coming in talking about how he went through the front door of the building here, Quest Diagnostic Center, and he saw a lot of pictures of Phil Sims. Got him all over the place.
Yeah, he's front and center in a lot of stuff out there.
Yes,
it's amazing. Why?
What do you mean?
I mean,
why?
That was like 100 years ago.
Yeah, okay. Well, they'd like to hearken back here.
They do like to hearken back. They love hearkening back here.
They do.
I mean, how many pictures did you count of Phil?
That'd be three prominent ones.
Really?
In the front lobby.
Do you want to show me?
Sure.
I'd love to see it.
All right.
Maybe we can do some graffiti on it or something. do you have a Sharpie?
I do have a Sharpie.
Oh, perfect.
Right. A little mustache on them.
Give him a little black eye. Give him a little black eye.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
All right. We are live from Giants camp. We do have three guests on this morning. It's going to start at the top of the 7 o'clock. Top of the 7 o'clock hour when
Jesus.
Brian Daboll joins us, and then Daniel Jones at 8 and Joe Shane at 9. Boomer and Geo live from Giants camp.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo. Live from Giants Camp, the Quest Diagnostics Center. Here at go for it.
Hey, how did we do in the golf tournament yesterday?
We did very, very well.
We did.
So,
okay, good.
We tied for first, and then the pro goes through the card.
Yeah.
And he looks and sees, all right, this is the hardest hole. How'd they do on that? And he goes through and ends a tiebreaker.
He's matching the cards. I get it.
And I believe the other team that won, they had birdied the number one handicap hole. So, and we did not. We parred that hole.
So we lost on a match of cards?
Right. So not only, so this is, you happen to miss this. I ended up staying very close in Jersey last night, so I stayed a little bit longer at the dinner than you. So it was actually very embarrassing for our team in a number of ways.
Okay.
One, we end up losing on this tiebreaker to Jerry Recco's father and son.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Stop.
That's number one, who are sitting at the table with me.
What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
We got celebrities.
I didn't do anything.
We got the guy who pays the most amount of money to plan this thing, and you don't give him the number one.
I didn't do anything.
Of course. You got to get yourself involved.
No, I'm not getting involved.
You have to get involved.
I was involved on 13. That was my involvement.
No.
I was not. I didn't know who was winning, who wasn't winning. I had no idea.
So finish.
All right. So this is really the, I mean, I felt like I was getting set up here. So, you know, when you announced, you've been to many golf tournaments, right?
A thousand of them.
All right, let's say there's a top three winners and they all get a prize. How would you announce those winners?
I would go 3-2-1.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
So what do they do? Is they announce?
Not they, Craig, not me.
Okay. I didn't want to single out anybody, but yes, Craig.
Okay, who's not Craig?
Craig Lynch, that was Scott's brother-in-law.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, who did an amazing job.
Yeah, he and his wife. Cheryl?
Yes, correct.
Yes. They did a phenomenal, phenomenal job, but not with this particular part of it.
Okay.
So there's a whole big, look at this, these are the winners. Yes! It's the Recos, everybody pictures, and then they're like, as soon as that's done, and in second place. I'm like, you can't do that. So I grabbed the microphone. I said, Craig, listen, I know this is the first year you're doing this, and you got to work out the kinks, but you can't call the second place team up after the first place team, because it's basically like saying,
here are the losers. Everybody, the losers.
Yeah. It was embarrassing.
3-2-1.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they went 1-2.
Gio said, you just kicked me in the balls.
That's right.
Exactly. It was,
And by the way, I'd be like, listen, Jerry, I mean, this is where you got to get involved with Craig and say, look, man, you know, Keith Hanning gave the most money. You know, Boomer and Gio, the celebrities.
And he probably wouldn't even want this out there, but everyone saw it. Not only that, then they win the 50-50, and he wouldn't take
it. Who won the 50-50?
Keith and his son.
They did.
And they gave it right back. Would not take a dime.
Well, you know.
Unbelievable.
And his son hits the ball like 320 yards.
I kind of felt bad for his son because his son's like, all right, I played my ass off.
Yes.
We come in second on a tiebreaker, and I have to come up here in second, and I don't get anything for that. And then I win the 50-50 because he had the ticket. And his dad goes, give me that. And he goes, we're giving it all back. The kid was like, wow, man.
Believe me, that kid's going to do just fine.
I know.
I'm not worried
about
that.
No, yeah, I know.
But, man. I got to tell you, Jerry.
I had nothing to do with that. Taking the loss on this one.
I will say it was a fun day. You did a great job.
No, I
absolutely great job.
Appreciate
we love being there. And quirky golf course.
It's hard.
Very quirky.
Yep.
First of all, that green on number 10 is about as big as this table.
It's long.
Yeah, that green on 10, sort of like the cart girl, hard to find.
Yeah, hard to find. Yeah, where the hell
you
was
asked,
the cart girl?
Time out. You asked who showed up 3 minutes later.
But I shouldn't have to ask.
I don't know. I was working on my par 3.
We complained with the general manager.
No, and
I said, where was the cart girl?
You do what
you said,
well,
Natalie's stuck somewhere, and I know what she was doing. These guys were giving her good tips.
Yeah.
And she was following those groups around.
Which is smart. Yeah.
Yeah, which is smart. I'd be doing the same thing.
That, and every time she stopped, they weren't letting her go. It was like, I'll take this, I'll take that, and oh, I want this. So, yes, that was...
For a first-time run golf tournament, though, you guys did a phenomenal job.
You did a great job. You did a good, really good job.
And thank you guys yet again.
Yes. The food was great, too, by the way.
The food there is awesome.
Yes.
I would agree.
Boomer said, what do you think? Next year's booming celebration right here.
That's a home game.
A home game for you, yeah.
Sounds good. Love it.
And by the way, I do have to say, hole number one, there's the Al Duke sign.
Yes. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it didn't say everything he needed to say, though.
Oh, thank you.
But a lot of buzz from it.
Yeah, I didn't do it to be recognized. I wish you guys hadn't have mentioned it.
But since we did.
You were saying what? That I sponsored hole number one?
Yes. Yeah. There it says Al Dukes brought you by
Yes.
I thought it was supposed to say something, though, like underneath it that was like Al couldn't be here, but he wanted you to know that he donated money.
Yes. Please take a photo with this sign.
So you know that Al.
And by the way, we did a video with Keith, and we said it to you.
Yes. Yep.
And Keith said, Al, you never show up at anything. We miss you. We want you here.
Yeah.
So maybe next year?
Maybe.
Sounds about right. Yeah. I will tell you, if you'd like to know exactly what Al wanted.
Yes, I would like
to. It was, so I got to find it, but it was something along the lines of what you said, but it was he wanted social media. Here it is. This is what Al asked for. Al Duke sponsored this hole. Please take a photo and post to social media so he gets credit for his donation.
It was great. It was right there on one.
Oh, very fun.
Well, we took the picture. We sent it to you, so I don't know if you put it out there.
I will put it out there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And rightly so. A lot of people were asking me because they saw the sign on one. They wanted to know what group is he in. I'm like, no, he's not here.
Not here, of course not. He's never goes anywhere.
Right. I guess they thought there was a chance, knowing he only lived 20 minutes away, maybe he would be
maybe
there.
Come by and say hi and whatever, shake some hands. No,
he was there in spirit.
As the spirit and in signage.
Okay. All right, Jerry, we've got a little bit of a sports update.
This is what I'm told. We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door, and brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. So the Mets were winning for much of last night. Then David Peterson gives up the home run. Mets and Orioles tied at 3. Go to the ninth, and what do we see? A good old game winner.
3-0. One on hit deep to left center. This might do it. Back near the wall. It is gone! Put it in the box. Francisco Alvarez with a towering game-winning home run.
Oh, my God. Howie Rose on WCBS 880, a much-needed game-winning home run, too, to kind of bounce back from the loss on Sunday. Mets win 4-3 over the Orioles. This was Alvarez post-game talking about Mendoza giving him the green light.
I really appreciate Carlos because he gave me the green light. So I think, like, it's not – I just was thinking, like I said before, hit the ball in the barrel and that's it. Like, I don't think about being excited and stuff like that.
Yeah, but did he give him the green light?
So, just so we're clear, Reed with Fliegelman wrote me.
Yeah, we're going to just run him over this morning.
No. I should have just trusted what he wrote, and instead I improvised, not hearing the clip, and said exactly what he said in the clip.
Perfect.
Shocking. Here's Carlos Mendoza. We need Alvarez to get hot at the plate again.
When you have a guy like that going, hitting in the bottom of your lineup, we talk about how deep our lineup is. But we need these guys to get going. And, you know, as a hitter, when you get a hole one like that, he can get you back on track.
So, maybe.
He is definitely welcome back, Francisco, because he is definitely the energizer party for the team. But what gets overlooked is just another strong performance by David Peterson.
Yes.
You know, you and I saw him when we went to the game against the Nationals. He pitched a great game that game, too. And he only had two earned runs. It's unfortunate that he gave up the home run last night.
I agree.
But, he's been their best pitcher.
He's been the steadiest and the most consistent.
Yes.
There's no question about it. Here is Peterson talking about Alvarez coming through in the big moment.
We battled all night, and it was a lot of fun to work with him. And, like I said, he works his butt off. And so to see him be the one to end it tonight was special.
And then you had Buto goes in the eighth, and then Diaz in the ninth. He winds up getting the win for it. So with the win, the Braves were off. The Mets were within a game and a half of Atlanta. And on top of that, the Braves announced that Austin Riley has a broken hand. So
That's a big loss for them. That's their starting third baseman.
Correct.
And, I mean, how many more injuries can they sustain?
And continue to play well. We shall see. So he's out. I guess he could be back in the postseason if they make it. But right now, he's out at least 6 to 8 weeks. And Atlanta plays Philadelphia starting tonight in Atlanta. Yankees play the Guardians this evening. Luis Gil makes the start. We'll have that for you on the Fan at 6:25 with coverage. The Yankees, because of the Orioles losing to the Mets, half game ahead of Baltimore for first place in the AL East. All right, some football. I guess it didn't go so good at Jet Camp yesterday. Matter of fact, Aaron Rodgers picked off on the last play around the end zone or so. Here was a little back and forth with a reporter and Robert Saleh about the offense struggling a little bit.
Seemed like it was a bit of a rough practice for the offense. Just kind of what was happening from your assessment?
There's a top five defense on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. So your offense struggles, that means your defense obviously did well.
That's true.
And why does everybody look at it as a glass half empty as opposed to a glass half full?
Because that's what we do.
We want fluid to the top, don't
we? That's right. Yes, we do.
Yes.
Fluid to the top. But yes, that was jet camp yesterday.
That's why they gotta go out and play somebody else.
Agreed, yeah.
Enough already.
I'm with you. It's enough, enough, enough. You got Tua talking with your guy...
Dan Lebatard?
That's it. Okay. I was going to say Dan Leberfeld. Yeah, just because we're talking about the Jets, and I just thinking Leberfeld, whatever. Okay. Lebatard, yes. And the topic of the different styles of coaches came up. Mike McDaniel as opposed to Brian Flores. This is a long answer, but this is the quote from Tua. I'm so cold, my mouth ain't working right now. this was Tua's long and interesting answer that's gone all over the place.
If you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate. You are the best whatever. You are this. You are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other?
Yeah, I mean, the first one sounds like Chernoff to me. I was like, man, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I the amazing thing is Brian Flores, obviously your defense coordinator now in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
He still has that lawsuit against the Miami Dolphins.
Wasn't it against the NFL?
Or the NFL, I guess. I guess the NFL. Yeah, that's right. It is the NFL. I don't know where that is, where that stands. I have no idea. It's like the NFL is like, and how many lawsuits going on right now?
Let's just sue them. Let's just Boomer and Geo just throw them.
I'm not suing them. They treat us good.
Yeah, but not good enough.
Oh, okay, you want better treatment.
I want better treatment, yes.
The fact is that Brian Flores coaches like Bill Belichick. And if you remember, I was telling you all these years that, you know, Tom Brady would be annoyed at the way that he was treated at times by Belichick.
Yeah.
But there was a reason why he was treated that way. And that was to keep everybody else in line. And I guess, you know, Tua must have been triggered or something. Or his feelings must have been hurt.
It sounded like it, man.
Yeah, his feelings must have really been hurt.
He's beaten down every day.
But I will say this. Mike McDaniel is the perfect coach for him, as I was telling you, that, you know, the coach-quarterback combination is so key, and you want to make sure that they're on the same page, and certainly, too, you know, and what's the matter with you? What are you laughing at?
Every time this thing goes off.
I guess. No luck in trying to fix that, huh? You weren't able to get at it?
No. You know what we can do? You know what we can do to stop it? Just turn the mics off.
Just leave.
Sorry.
Oh, gosh. You mentioned Tom Brady. He was on the Stephen A. Smith.
It's really going now.
The wind is kicking
magnum opus right
now. Here he was talking about the idea of younger players basically being thrown right into the fire from college to the NFL.
I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play.
Is he giving a sermon?
I don't know.
I don't know what that was.
I don't know.
That was strange. Weird. But I understand what he's saying. I mean, you know. Dumbed the game down.
Easy.
I don't necessarily know that you can dumb it down.
I thought you could.
I thought you reduce the plays that are available.
You can,
to them.
But you know, then it's not going to work. You're not going to be effective.
Mm. We have people that are stupid.
That's the line of the year right there.
Well, right on cue would be Dan Quinn. He's going over the rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels.
He didn't miss a beat. Hit the targets that, you know, we had put in front of him. You know, we talked about the practices against the other teams, the games. So he's ready and he's earned the right to do that.
What is with this earn the right?
Earn the right.
All I hear is Brandon in my head.
I know. He actually stopped himself the other day when he said earn the right. He was like, he hasn't earned the chance. You see, it's so Brandon. In it. Yeah, it's in his head now, too.
It's true. That clip. So anyways, see. Yeah,
and by the way, that's another boon for the Giants because they'll have their second game will be against the rookie quarterback.
That's exactly right. Remember they play Minnesota week one with Sam Darnold.
400 yards for Jaden Daniels, 120 rushing, 6 total touchdowns.
Oh, stop it. Stop being so negative.
Anyhow, more coming up from the NFL next hour. There you have it.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live in the Traveling Built Ford Tough studio. And yes, it is. We are live from Giants camp today. It is a very interesting morning so far.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
I went back behind this, whatever you want to call it, stanchion. What is this? What do you call this thing that we're underneath?
This is some sort of metal roofing with some awning material on top of it.
Well, I went behind there to investigate the sound, and Steve Apria went with me and explained to me that they found the source of the squeaking.
Yes.
And they need a wrench to tighten the nuts.
Why don't they just use some WD-40 and grease the nuts?
I think they have a better chance of finding a wrench to
oil up the nuts. That's what I say.
Tighten the nuts. I don't know. Maybe someone's getting WD-40. I would just... I don't know who it was. Al's got to give the person credit, but someone on X took a picture of us, photoshopped us from here with a squeaky gate behind us. Oh, it's great. Sean Drella?
Yeah, Sean Drella said, this is how the Boomer and Geo show sounds right now. It's you two with a rusty, squeaky gate behind you.
That's pretty good. That's a good Photoshop right there. Brian Daboll joins us at 7 a.m., so 10 minutes from now. Daniel Jones at 8 and Joe Shane at 9. And just quickly, you know, if we're going to make a big deal about some of these Mets losses, like the way that they ended up losing that last game against the Oakland A's, and it felt like it was over.
Or
at
the
that
Marlins.
Point. Marlins as well, another good example. Then you have to look at last night as one of those, hey, they're still here, they're still in it. When they were playing their best baseball, Francisco Alvarez was the engine. He certainly was last night. So, I mean, I've said the entire year I don't think they're going to the playoffs. However, last night was a fun one, and this is what you got when they thrust themselves back into the race is a fun season and a fun August that could have been dead, and the crowds have been pretty good during the week. So last night was one of those good ones. I know it's been sort of, even though they've been a couple games over 500 and a couple games back in the wild card, you got an injury, another injury for the Braves, so you don't want to root for injuries, but yesterday and last night was a really good night for the Mets and their chances of trying to grab a wild card.
And guess what? You're welcome, Yankee fans.
Yeah.
You know, that was a nice win for all of New York baseball last night, and especially with the way that it ended in the bottom of the ninth, and doesn't happen very often. And for Francisco Alvarez, I think that was his first walk-off home run ever.
Well, he's only been around for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know if he's had one when he was younger playing. I don't, you know, it seems like it's, and the way he reacted, it's just an awesome way to finish a game and for somebody to be able to feel that way, especially against a good team. So if they can just now somehow follow it up with another win, then you start taking them serious again. But this is what the Mets have been doing all year to us.
Yeah. Up and down and up and down and up and down. But it's fun, at least. I mean, I really thought that there was going to be a point that they were irrelevant and we weren't paying attention to them during these months. So last night was a good one. A lot of Met fans at that golf outing yesterday. A lot of people with Met. I don't know if you got the same thing, but I was hanging around the dinner. A lot of, the Mets good enough? They're going to do it. The Mets. I was like, guys, come on. Can we play some golf?
Yeah, well, that's that's what happens to us, right?
No, I know.
Everywhere
I know,
we go, that's what happens.
Of course. No, I know. And it's funny because the other one was the Giants. I felt like a lot of Mets and Giants questions. And I haven't come up with my, maybe today I'll come to Devin and talk to these guys. I really don't even know what I would pick the Giants record to be right now. I still don't know. Like, I've got a real good handle on what I think the Jets are, especially with their schedule. I know you've already figured out who they're playing in the postseason. That's how much you forecast.
I don't know. I told
you
I had a dream. I had a dream that the Jets were going to host the Bengals at a divisional round playoff game right here at MetLife Stadium.
Wow.
That was just a dream.
Yeah.
That's all that was.
Okay, but you... But
I mean, I don't need, like, you know, I don't need awful announcing or Yard Barker or Barrett Media or somebody else like Barker. I could talk to me. I'm just... I had a dream. Is that okay?
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like you've said that confidently now, though.
No, but I do feel like both teams are going to... Yeah, I it would be great. That would be great. And I go out and flip the coin. I think I should be a part of a coin ceremony.
Well, you would say yes to it, unlike Peter Schwartz, who turned that down. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, he did turn
that
down.
On Dennis Byrd Day of all times, too.
That'd be amazing.
I couldn't believe that.
Right.
Now, you would say yes to that. It was a playoff game, too. You'd definitely say yes.
As far as the Giants are concerned, I do think that they do have a chance to get off to a reasonably good start, just simply because of the quarterbacks they're playing. You know, and you have an inexperienced quarterback in week two. You got Sam Darnold's trying to find his way, but you still got to deal with Justin Jefferson.
They got to start off 2-0 if they're going to be taken seriously. They have to. Things get tougher after that. They got the Vikings at home. They should be able to beat them. And then you got Jaden Daniels in his second game ever in game two against a team that's rebuilding, new head coach, everything else. So, I mean, they really, if they want to have a good start, get people behind, 2-0 is like a has to happen. Has to.
I don't know if you saw this. Did you see that the Patriots, and I read this yesterday quickly, and I do believe it's a true story. I don't believe I was ball-sacked sports.
True story?
Yeah, true story. The Patriots trading Matthew Judon to the Atlanta Falcons, that supposedly they had a trade in place with the Falcons and the Bears.
Mm.
And they asked Matthew, where would you like to go?
Mm.
And Matthew chose the Falcons.
Okay.
Which, like, again, it's a team trying to do right by a player that's unhappy.
Yeah.
So what happens with Hassan Reddick? What happens with a number of other players at this moment in time in the NFL?
CeeDee Lamb.
Well, CeeDee Lamb wants to be a Cowboy. There's no two ways about it. He had a huge season last year. It was one of the most explosive seasons we've ever seen as a wide receiver. Why wouldn't he want to stay with the Cowboys?
Yeah, he just wants to get paid.
And he deserves to be paid.
Yeah, the Hassan Reddick thing, the fact that that's still going on. I mean, those fines got to be adding up. Joe Douglas and the Jets are not going to blink. So what's he going to do? Just show up with his tail between his legs and be like, okay, I'll play. So
yeah, but then if he shows up and he plays, how does he play? Does he really lay it on the line? I guess he should lay it on the line for two reasons. One, to protect himself and to give the best effort. And two would be to show everybody that he has a lot left in the tank so he can get another contract.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't lay it on the line, looks like he's loafing out there. He's going to get benched and deactivated and just be a lost player.
But it also, I mean, these, you know, be interesting to talk to Coach Daboll about dealing with disgruntled players, because I'm sure throughout his career he has seen how certain teams have dealt with different people. And, you know, if you're unhappy, the last thing you want is an unhappy guy in the locker room, especially one that you're counting on.
Well, we'll talk to Brian Daboll about that next as he joins us live from Giants camp. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
I went back behind this, whatever you want to call it, stanchion. What is this? What do you call this thing that we're underneath?
This is some sort of metal roofing with some awning material on top of it.
Well, I went behind there to investigate the sound, and Steve Apria went with me and explained to me that they found the source of the squeaking.
Yes.
And they need a wrench to tighten the nuts.
Why don't they just use some WD-40 and grease the nuts?
I think they have a better chance of finding a wrench to
oil up the nuts. That's what I say.
Tighten the nuts. I don't know. Maybe someone's getting WD-40. I would just... I don't know who it was. Al's got to give the person credit, but someone on X took a picture of us, photoshopped us from here with a squeaky gate behind us. Oh, it's great. Sean Drella.
Yeah, Sean Drella said, this is how the Boomer and Geo show sounds right now. It's you two with a rusty, squeaky gate behind you.
That's pretty good. That's a good Photoshop right there. Brian Daboll joins us at 7 a.m., so 10 minutes from now. Daniel Jones at 8 and Joe Shane at 9. And just quickly, you know, if we're going to make a big deal about some of these Mets losses, like the way that they ended up losing that last game against the Oakland A's, and it felt like it was over.
Or
that
the Marlins.
Point. Marlins as well, another good example. Then you have to look at last night as one of those, hey, they're still here. They're still in it. When they were playing their best baseball, Francisco Alvarez was the engine. He certainly was last night. So, I mean, I've said the entire year, I don't think they're going to the playoffs. However, last night was a fun one, and this is what you got when they thrust themselves back into the race, is a fun season and a fun August that could have been dead, and the crowds have been pretty good during the week. So last night was one of those good ones. I know it's been sort of, even though they've been a couple games over 500 and a couple games back in the wild card, you got an injury, another injury for the Braves, so you don't want to root for injuries, but yesterday and last night was a really good night for the Mets and their chances of trying to grab a wild card.
And guess what? You're welcome, Yankee fans.
Yeah.
That was a nice win for all of New York baseball last night, and especially with the way that it ended in the bottom of the ninth, and doesn't happen very often. And for Francisco Alvarez, I think that was his first walk-off home run ever.
Well, he's only been around for a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if he's had one when he was younger playing. I don't, you know, it seems like it's, and the way he reacted, it's just an awesome way to finish a game and for somebody to be able to feel that way, especially against a good team. So if they can just now somehow follow it up with another win, then you start taking them serious again. But this is what the Mets have been doing all year to us.
Yeah. Up and down and up and down and up and down. But it's fun, at least. I mean, I really thought that there was going to be a point that they were irrelevant and we weren't paying attention to them during these months. So last night was a good one. A lot of Met fans at that golf outing yesterday. A lot of people with Met quit. I don't know if you got the same thing, but I was hanging around the dinner. A lot of, the Mets good enough? They're going to do it. The Mets. I was like, guys, come on. Can we play some golf?
Yeah, well, that's what happens to us, right?
No, I mean,
everywhere
I
we
know,
go, that's course. What happens.
Of course. No, I know. And it's funny because the other one was the Giants. I felt like I had a lot of Mets and Giants questions. And I haven't come up with my, maybe today I'll come to Devin, talk to these guys. I really don't even know what I would pick the Giants record to be right now. I still don't know. Like, I've got a real good handle on what I think the Jets are, especially with their schedule. I know you've already figured out who they're playing in the postseason. That's how much you forecast.
I don't know. I told
you
I had a dream. I had a dream that the Jets were going to host the Bengals at a divisional round playoff game right here at MetLife Stadium.
Wow.
That was just a dream.
Yeah.
That's all that was.
Okay, but
I don't need, like, you know, I don't need awful announcing or Yard Barker or Barrett Media or somebody else like Barker. I could talk to me. I had a dream. Is that okay?
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like you've said that confidently now, though.
No, but I do feel like both teams are going to, I it would be great. That would be great. And I go out and flip the coin. I think I should be a part of a coin ceremony.
Well, you would say yes to it, unlike Peter Schwartz, or turn that down. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, he did turn
that
down.
On Dennis Byrd Day of all times, too.
That'd be amazing.
I couldn't believe that.
Right.
You would say yes to that. It was a playoff game, too. You'd definitely say yes.
As far as the Giants are concerned, I do think that they do have a chance to get off to a reasonably good start, just simply because of the quarterbacks they're playing. You know, and you have an inexperienced quarterback in week two. You got Sam Darnold's trying to find his way, but you still got to deal with Justin Jefferson.
They got to start off 2-0 if they're going to be taken seriously. They have to. Things get tougher after that. They got the Vikings at home. They should be able to beat them. And then you got Jaden Daniels in his second game ever in game two against a team that's rebuilding, new head coach, everything else. So, I mean, they really, if they want to have a good start, get people behind, 2-0 is like a has to happen. Has to.
I don't know if you saw this. Did you see that the Patriots, and I read this yesterday quickly, and I do believe it's a true story. I don't believe I was ball-sacked sports.
True story? Sports.
Yeah, true story. The Patriots trading Matthew Judon to the Atlanta Falcons, that supposedly they had a trade in place with the Falcons and the Bears. And they asked Matthew, where would you like to go? and Matthew chose the Falcons.
Okay.
Which, like, again, it's a team trying to do right by a player that's unhappy.
Yeah.
So what happens with Hassan Reddick? What happens with a number of other players at this moment in time in the NFL?
CeeDee Lamb.
Well, CeeDee Lamb wants to be a Cowboy. There's no two ways about it. He had a huge season last year. It was one of the most explosive seasons we've ever seen as a wide receiver. Why wouldn't he want to stay with the Cowboys?
Yeah, he just wants to get paid.
And he deserves to be paid.
Yeah, the Hassan Reddick thing, the fact that that's still going on. I mean, those fines got to be adding up. Joe Douglas and the Jets are not going to blink. So what's he going to do? Just show up with his tail between his legs and be like, okay, I'll play. So
yeah, but then if he shows up and he plays, how does he play? Does he really lay it on the line? I guess he should lay it on the line for two reasons. One, to protect himself and to give the best effort. And two would be to show everybody that he has a lot left in the tank so he can get another contract.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't lay it on the line, looks like he's loafing out there. He's going to get benched and deactivated and just be a lost player.
But it also, I mean, these, you know, be interesting to talk to Coach Daboll about dealing with disgruntled players, because I'm sure throughout his career he has seen how certain teams have dealt with different people. And, you know, if you're unhappy, the last thing you want is an unhappy guy in the locker room, especially one that you're counting on.
Well, we'll talk to Brian Daboll about that next as he joins us live from Giants camp. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.